Thank you for just happening to be here. I'm guessing that everyone here wants to be here. Yes, cool. Yes, we're going to have a good time. You've actually come to a really exciting masterclass. You might not ever see this again, but right now, as we speak, yesterday really, my wife started going into labor. So it's going to be an exciting masterclass. Like, it may stop halfway through and I'll just leave. Literally, I'm that on edge right now. But we've made it through two sessions so far, and I'm just hoping, you know, just to get through to this afternoon, and the baby holds on that long. So is this a first for everyone? Like, it's a first for me. So, do we have any intercessors here? We just need some intercessory prayer, just carrying on through this, just to get us through. My name is Matt Linton. I'm the creative director here at Life, and it is a privilege to host you over the next few days in our creative masterclass. We have four amazing sessions. Today, we're just going to be speaking on culture, team culture, what it is to build a great team, and the dynamics that go into it, the intentionality that goes into building culture. And you are a part of this conversation that is about to take place, which is hopefully just going to be a conversation. I have some really good friends with me, and then I'm going to ask you just to like get right on board. We're setting a platform today. We're talking about culture the whole day. After this session, I have a very good friend. Hello. Technical is a part of this creative masterclass as well. We're doing really well so far. Do we have a little like dropout zone or something? I have a very good friend, Pastor Shahan from Arise in Wellington, who's going to be preaching the next session, so it's going to be cool. And it looks like guys are just working in the background to make that work. On the panel with me, on my left here, is Pastor Sheldon Brown from Harborside. Next to him is Esther Greenwood from Equippers. Legend, creative director, and who are you? Who are you?
I'm Geonce. Geneva. I'm Geonce. No, I'm Geneva. I am my own person, okay? I'm Geneva. I'm the creative and worship pastor here at Life. Yes.
Brilliant. Is this going to work? Should we just share one mic?
Rob's got it. Yeah.
Rob, you're on it. Cool. Are you ready? Ready to go? Cool. I'm just going to pull out my phone and check that we don't have a baby yet. No jokes, that's all my notes. So as a creative pastor, we often focus on building large teams, and we focus on the practicalities that go into making great worship teams. Over the last few years, we've taken master classes and try to get down and break it down to the nitty-gritty, like how to MD, how to be a good musician, how to do worship leading, all those sorts of things. We've been very practical. This year, we took it away from the practicalities a little bit and just went a little bit on topic, because I've found as my role's grown and I've grown as a leader as well, the thing I spend most of my time on with people is culture, and embedding it into every person that becomes a part of our team. And it's no longer as important to just get every detail right to me and be a great gifted person, but the people on my team matter, and who and what they believe, and whether they're actually on board with what we're doing as a church is really the most important thing. So I want to talk about that with these awesome people, which is going to be cool. Sam Chan says, culture is just the things that we do here. What is it about your team that's distinctive that you wouldn't go past? Your biggest rock on culture, Esther Greenwood. You're my favorite.
That's a lie. One of them.
No, that.
One of them. So the question is like, what is distinctive about our team?
What is distinctive about your team?
I think in terms of culture, what we do as a creative team is not different to the culture that comes from our senior leader. And that's really important. We're not a team unto itself. And so everything that we do in terms of culture that flows from the head, that's biblical, that's Psalm 133, where there is unity, then, you know, like the anointing on Aaron's beard, it flows. And so anointing is important and unity is important. So we make sure that we're always flowing from what our senior leader would say. As a house, we have what we call our heartbeats. Right. And so our heartbeats are to honor, excel, advance, and to reach out and do it together. So as a team, you know, that's something that we do that's distinctive about us. But I would probably go so far as to say that probably all of your teams do that as well. You all honor, you all excel, you all advance and reach out and together. But we just express it in different ways. So, yeah. Does that answer your question?
No, can you keep going? No jokes. Can you just preach?
Oh, come on.
I'll give you a 5-minute clock. No jokes.
She needs 40.
She needs 40.
Can you believe these guys? Honestly.
Sheldon?
Make it 50.
Tell us about your team. What does it look and feel like?
I wouldn't say anything different from what Esther said, really. You know, one thing that we're establishing right from the get-go is that when we get together, we're not doing anything different, but we were setting a platform for God to move. And usually, where there is unity, God obviously brings blessing, he brings breakthrough. And through that, you know, we're able to see, you know, what God is actually wanting to stir in us. Understand that I think the mantle is on leadership, and the more we can honor that as a team, we're going to actually see that flourish. And so for us, you know, it's we want to be a team that, you know, that knows what it means to carry the presence of God. We want to be a team that actually knows how to lead to transformation. We want to be a team that actually embodies community. But we also want to be a team that actually knows how to serve beyond self. And so if you're sitting here questioning, you know, where do we start? I'd say look at your values or your vision as a church and start from there. Because I feel like the more you do that as a team and the more you ministry, because all we are is an expression of that. The only difference is between us and other ministries is we're on platform more than anybody else. And so, which means that it requires more of a heart check in most cases. Yeah. And so for us, I think that's the best place to start.
Earlier this year, and also last year, our churches joined together and did a big event in Auckland. We called it Open Heaven. There was six of the major churches in Auckland and a lot of other churches that just came together to have one night of prayer. This is actually where our relationship really started 2 years ago. We met these guys and did a worship experience with them. And I observed from not just you, but the team members from your team that I got to meet, that there was a oneness of language, and that I know only comes from intentionality, like the leadership, it flows down. But how do you create that? How does that actually outwork? What sort of conversations do you have with people for that to flow into your team? Because we can talk about unity and that's awesome, but it needs work, and there's often lots of hard conversations to have. I know our church is leadership, like it's definitely like a leadership church, but then I meet creatives and not always am built with leadership. It's a different type. It's up, it's down, it's around. It shows you a whole new side of life. It's a fun journey. So for me, I've had to have like conversations with people to be like, okay, this is what we are doing and we're committed to this together. Are you on board? What do you do? What do you do to actually make that a one team?
I think one of the first things for me as the leader is to understand that we're not executing tasks and we're not executing events. What we are doing is we're developing and discipling people. And that's super important. And especially for all of us as creatives and being a part of a creative ministry, we're doing stuff all the time. Yeah. But there's a Māori proverb that says, he aha te mea nui o te ao. What is the most precious thing in the world? He tangata, he tangata, he tangata. It's people. Yeah. It's people. And Jesus didn't die for programs or process. He died for people. And so culture, the hard conversations are laced with grace if, as a leader in your heart, I'm not here to develop a strategy. I'm here to develop you. Like my vested interests are in discipling you. And when they feel and know that love, they will allow the hard conversations to take place. And so I think good leaders develop strategy, but I think great leaders develop and empower people. And so as a creative, because at Life it would be like that, Harborside it would be like that, at Equippers we're just on the go all the time. But if my team aren't feeling like they're valued and loved and that there aren't environments like that for them, culture conversations are just hitting a brick wall and then burnout. Then the creative lows and highs, but that when you bring that culture with that love and discipleship, there's a consistency even in the highs and lows, I think.
Yeah, totally, and that's what I want to talk about, because we often build our teams linearly, like first you'll start here and you'll do this task and you'll learn this task, and then you might be entrusted with this task here, and it grows, and often it feels like maybe a ladder that you climb. And worship leader might be at the top. How do you break that down? Because that's not the way it works. It's what you were saying. It's like, how does this person go from here to a better version of themselves and outworking what God's placed into them? Yeah. How does that look?
First of all, I think it's too often we look at people through a filter. In a sense of, we're asking what are they great at, you know, and then we can kind of work with that first. Whereas I think Esther hit on the button, find out what is their grace. Everyone has a wellspring, right? We talk about that. I think too often we like to box people in and say, sweet, this person can sing, worship leader, boom, let's go. Put them on a pathway. The step 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, in 6 months' time, you're going to be leading worship. Whereas like, you know, that's not necessarily how it works, because people go through stuff. And we're in the business of people. In essence, I think, I think culture's got to be a commitment to where we're going. And if people understand that, they're willing to have a conversation, it's got to be that sense of relationships where you can actually have that conversation. Okay, you're actually not ready to actually get to this point of view. All right, so this is what I see in you. This is what I feel God's actually graced on you. Obviously, you know, our job is to not just, fill a roster. It's actually to be able to see the potential in people. You know, it's to be able to see the potential, it's to be able to realize their potential and actually really do everything we can to empower that. And so I think even half of that job is actually to find out perhaps that person has been wanting to be a worship leader, but maybe that's not necessarily the call in their life. But that's all they've known. And so I think our job is to be able to discern and be able to have that conversation. How do you actually shift their mentality a little bit? And I think that comes out for a lot of coffees, a lot of catch-ups, a lot of, hey, bro, let's go hang out. Can we talk? And I think that's really where it starts, because I think too often, especially in creatives, we look for the how-tos. We look for the 1, 2, 3 step. Oftentimes, the steps is purely just like, let's catch up for a coffee, share me your heart, and then let me download what I feel God is actually saying to me. Obviously, you do it in a graceful way, but then I think is that journey process too. I don't know. I don't even know if I'm answering your question, bro, but I'm just kind of like rolling.
Over to our friend, Gionce. Hi, Gionce.
Hi. Just as you're saying that, Sheldon, I was just thinking about understanding in the prophetic grace that we have as leaders as well, and being able to see the potential in people, and prophesying and being able to draw that thing out of them. You can't do that if you're insecure as a leader yourself. You can't do that if you're seeing people through a filter that is actually your insecurities in the first place. So I think it's important that is for us as leaders that we deal with our stuff as well as be able to see the prophetic gift in people and pull that out. And that's actually our responsibility and our grace as leaders to be able to do that. I was going to say something else, but I can't remember.
Were you going to say, because I feel what you're saying,
yeah,
is that our insecurities block potentially people being released.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you even go beyond that with people? What, like, would you see that in a lot of leaders?
Yes, definitely.
How does that outwork?
Great question. I think that you can see it. I don't know. You can just smell it. That sounds weird. You can just vibe it, you know, like you can just, yeah, you know, like you can actually vibe that a leader is like, oh, it doesn't even have to necessarily be malice talk. It can just be like, oh, I don't really think that that person led well today or whatever. And you're like, okay, let's draw whatever's going on in there out because we want that person to excel and for you to excel. So, yeah, I'm not entirely sure how to articulate it. But I wanted to answer your question about the whole worship leader at the top thing or whatever. That's just not a thing. Like, it's not a thing. It is different responsibilities, different graces. And yes, there's a different weight that comes with that stuff. But as a team, we have decided and worked really hard as a creative production worship team to be able to pull all the gifts and graces together to be able to move in one motion. You actually don't, or it's biblical that God's blessing comes when there's unity, and if you aren't unified in your language and even your relationships and understanding each other and having a grace for each other, then you're actually not going to have God's blessing. And it sounds harsh, but it comes from the word. So I just think, like, if you think that if you're a worship leader and you think that you're better than anybody else, you're actually not. You're just graced and gifted differently to your production manager or your audio engineer, and your audio engineer has that grace and that ability and that prophetic edge in their gifting to be able to do what they do so you can sound good. So it's appreciating that relationship, and it takes time and it takes investment, and it takes hard conversations. We've had a lot of hard conversations, a lot of disagreements or things like, I don't like what you said to me, da 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 da, but it only makes you richer and stronger for that, and that's what I guess makes your culture permeate into other people. So when new people come along, they just get it.
Yeah, totally. I think your culture needs to be attractive for people to join, and for people to see that there's enough room for them to grow in, regardless of what they're bringing. Even I was thinking about, does your team culture have enough room for an artist who, I mean, even say just the worship team culture, like an artist who has a gift. They can sing or play, but they maybe don't see themselves as being gifted in the church, or not gifted, but placed in the church or called to the church. They're called to the secular. Does your culture have enough room for them to grow? Yeah. I know that is something on your church as well, that you build into people regardless of who they are. Pastor Wayne and Libby are amazing people at that, at believing in the artist. Is there something that's intentional? Do you do anything intentional to make room for any form of artistry?
Yeah, I think probably one of the most intentional things is that although Sunday is game day, Sunday is not all of church. That, you know, like four songs on a worship set, that's not it. That's not what we're doing. And if that's what we're doing, it's too small. It's too small, and it doesn't require enough faith. But what requires faith is to welcome someone onto team who's called to a different mountain that we don't necessarily understand, the mountain of arts and celebration. And so we're so blessed to have Pastor Wayne and Libby, who are like OGs. And like, I wanted to be like them when I grow up. I still do. They're amazing, but they know the industry. And they know what the industry's like. So when people come in, they can pastor appropriately and welcome and value appropriately. So I know Pastor Wayne will get alongside all of those artists personally and make sure that he's discipling them personally. And you got to understand, that's also like what Geneva was saying, as a leader, I can't be insecure about that. Because Wayne and Libby have a grace for that. I don't necessarily. But if I'm an insecure leader, I would shut down Wayne and Libby. But that's stupidity. That truly is. But a secure leader would look at the people around them and think, man, they're graced for that. I want to facilitate that. And that is forever my greatest privilege, is to find people who can facilitate areas that I cannot. Yeah, right. And if we can do that, that's the unity that we're talking about. So I'm forever, so that's one of the things. I'm really not fantastic at it, but Wayne and Libby are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, it's very easy for us to try and squish people into a box that they just don't belong in, and for our own gain. Like, I think we try and make people, like, we need to fill roster positions. There is the reality of that going on. That's not why we do it, but there is the reality of it. And we try and fit people into this box and make them be what we want them to be, but then they're actually not fulfilled, and then they get frustrated, feel like the church don't understand their calling or gifting. And so I think that's like an important thing, that we don't try and squash people in like a round peg, whatever that saying is. The square peg round hole thing. Yeah, awesome.
Just one thing on that. I think, first of all, you just need to rip that whole mentality out of the... Like, it's not separate. Like, it's not. I think we as Christians do a bad job of separating the church from the world. Where in essence, no, at the end of the day, people are people. They've just called to a certain arena of life. I think we create a team based on what we do on a Sunday, not necessarily what we actually want to see to change the world. And so I think one thing you can do as a team is to find a way to actually include those people. Is it necessarily having them on a Sunday? Maybe it's just maybe having them along to one of your nights and actually maybe doing a workshop. I don't know. Like, this is what we're called to do, be creative. So we actually need to think creatively. Try to figure out how we're going to necessarily place people.
Just one more thing, because Matt was asking, like, what do we actually do? We have an industry collective as a part of our team that runs once a month. So everyone who feels called to the industry, they come along once a month, and it's a collective, it's sharing, and it's all these artists come out of, I'm like, wow. And so that runs on our worship team night, but it same venue, but just in a different space. So they all come in just... practically, they all come in for the first part of praise and worship because Jesus is the center, and then we break up and they do their worship collective. I'm sorry, the industry collective thing. So that's one of the practical things. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you can hold it.
Oh, okay, I'll hold it.
Means you have to talk.
No, you hold it.
I want to ask how your teams are structured. Because we might be structured a little bit differently. I don't want to talk to the wider, like, creative production, worship. I don't know how your churches are structured. I'll let you know how ours is. We'll go through how your teams are structured. And then I'll talk about just, like, how does it all work together? And how does that culture permeate through every team? So our team, we just call it the creative team. And inside of that, there is a creative team. So a creative team within it. A creative team inception. That's a creative inception. And that team is where we care for a lot of our dance, drama, and look and feel, like all these nice table decorations. And
because it matters.
Because it matters.
Yeah, it does.
I get told off for calling it creative fluff, but because it devalues. But I say it in love.
You're empowered.
Yeah. Even the jokers are bad. And then, so we've got the creative team inside the creative team, the creative inception. And then there's a production team, and that is everything tech. And then a worship team, which is like your singers and your musicians and things like that. And then we have a film and TV team, which is separate again. And it's like all of our creative video and come up with crazy concepts that fill big panels and things like that. Can you tell us how your teams are sort of structured in Harbourside?
Sure. Basically the same, just not as many. So with our church, same kind of vibe. We kind of call it collectively as a creative team. But within that you have singers, you have production guys. We are in a stage where we're actually really in a process of developing. So you understand too, we've come from a stage where predominantly creative was just the musicians. And so we're going through a process at the moment, the last couple of years, to almost really restructure and what does that actually look like. And so for us, that's kind of the process we're in right now as we speak. So as we're talking about process or we're talking about team structure, it's kind of organically moving per se. So yeah, currently creative team, but within that, everything from under the sun, from singers to production to dancers. We kind of meet together on a Thursday night, and then through that we're trying to do different bits and pieces to kind of help facilitate that. That's
awesome, bro. Yeah, we're pretty much the same. Is that okay? Yeah.
Thanks for that. You just held the mic. So within that, a lot of church structures I've talked to, people would have the worship team as one thing, and then a production team as one thing, and then all the creatives as one thing, the artists, they get together and do their thing. I have an opinion, but is it important to all be the same, or is there benefit in doing it separately? And what would you say to that?
I'll ask you that question, Esther.
I think there's pros and cons to both. But what I will say is, either way, if you do like one creative team and then everyone sits under there, or whether you have the worship team, as you were saying, creative team, the production team, and actually our structure, sorry, now I get the question before. Our structure is a little bit different,
so,
and more
good.
Like that.
Welcome.
Where we have our creative team and then our production team and our sound team, but we don't operate as separate units. So in terms of function, the heads of those departments will autonomously is the wrong word, but they will lead their teams, but we all come together and there's a point of unity where we're all on the same page, and then from there we disseminate culture, strategy. So do it however you want to do it, but there has to be a point of unity. There has to be a point where you're all working together. So, yeah.
So that would take time together.
Yes.
Brilliant. Great. I think that is one of the most important things. Like, unity doesn't happen within a creative team if you're not going to spend time with each other and commit to relationships and commit to hard conversations. I know that has been the journey for us from very siloed areas of production and say just worship, where we'd come to a conference and it'd be like, well, you didn't do what you'd said you were going to do, and just leave it there. There's a commitment beyond that to relationship, where we're in this together, and so we'll commit to the beginning conversation, what things are driving us apart. Because what I'd love to finish off the last few minutes before I open up to questions is, the things that drive us apart are toxic cultures. And toxic cultures just kill all of your vision, and you can't grow a team within it. So having conversations that are going to be building relationships are conflicting, like they're conflicts. And you have to commit to the relationship building conflicts and the hard conversations. And that looks like maybe submitting to not doing it the way you think it's best to be done. And maybe the expertise actually lies in another team of how to efficiently run a rehearsal, or how to efficiently pull something together the easiest way. And maybe you, as the worship pastor, if that was in most churches the common way it would be structured, you're the worship person, go sort it out, because the senior pastor doesn't want to have all that detail, the level of detail. It's you often just go my way or the highway. I know. I've learned this. Am I the only one? Am I here on a limb?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, it's just me then. Let's tell you about my journey. I don't know all the answers, and so I have to commit to asking, how would you do this, production person? How would you see it done to be the most efficient in your mind, and what needs to be achieved? Because in a production world, there's a million level of details that goes into an opener. And it needs to be on a timeline to get, you know, there's so many things, and we just live in our world where it's a dream world over there. And I want that, and I won't settle for anything but that. But there's actually little steps that go along the way to make that idea that seems impossible actually really practical. Yeah. So let's talk about toxic culture. And that's where I'm going to open up to you guys. Is there anything that you would like to ask? What is a process of doing something? Yeah, we've got some questions already. Just think about your world. What's going well? What is not going well? You have four people here who run amazing teams. And there's not one way of doing it, which is why I've asked a lot of different churches to be involved in this, because life's not the only way of doing things either. So over to you, my friend, and then I would like a lot of questions and not much silence, okay? Our culture would be, after this question, for it there to be another one straight away and no silence. Okay, welcome.
That's a good question.
Tell us your failures as well.
Tell us failures. Everything.
It's a safe zone.
I'm just trying to think how to answer your question, mate. Because I get what you mean. I remember what it's like being a part of a small church. But then I also now in a place where it's a slightly larger environment. So I kind of get the tension that you're in. I think obviously where if there's a relationship, I think you have the opportunity to be able to just work on all those bits and pieces. Let's say it's a Thursday night or whatever it is, looks like for you. One thing I know I did, like I focused on, I got all our guys together every single week and we just workshop stuff. I had a relationship with them, so therefore that in terms of unity, I didn't have to focus it as much. I think we have to realize, especially as leaders, what season we're in, and understand there's graces in each season. And as a leader, your grace to be able to, obviously, perhaps maybe if you have a relationship strongly with a lot of those guys, perhaps it's not a season where you necessarily have to fully disciple them, because you know that they got your back. You know that they know that you're actually for them, not against them. They know that if you even pull them up on something, if they made a mistake, you know that it's coming out of a place of love. So I think if you're in a season where it's simply just, you need to develop, I think make that the priority. You kind of work on that forever, however long that is. I think you as the leader need to decide and discern, okay, when is that season up? I think that's what we don't do well, is that we kind of almost park in a certain season for too long and forget to change things up. Because sometimes we can stay in a place that's a little bit too long than what God actually had for us. I think that's the best way to kind of approach it.
Yeah, well, you think of your answer. Whether you're a large organization or a small organization, we all have that issue of time. And as a leader, I need to prioritize who is I need to build relationships more with so that things can move a lot faster. Like if I just look at things and if something is slowing down the process, that would probably be where I would spend most of my time. If things are moving across really fast and you feel really like you've got a gut feel it, but you feel like, man, there's nothing slowing down this process in this person, I would prioritize the hardest thing first. And we often procrastinate and put the hardest thing last and not do that. And so if it's slow, like I can think of a time where I was getting lots of, we have a multi-campus approach. I was actually getting a lot of comments about the experience in the auditorium and the loudness or the mix. And I was busy, but one of my production members just asked me, like, oh, what do you think? And then the next Sunday, I prioritized it because it mattered to me that he knew that I was on his side as well, and I was there to support whatever he needed, regardless of what I had on. It just so happened that on that day I didn't get rostered, so I was like, oh, that's the first thing on my mind is the biggest need, and I just prioritized the relationship. I think it goes a long way to your presence and someone else's problems and being there alongside, helping them out where they can make their life easier or teaching them something in the moment, coaching, anything you can do. Like, I'm a musician and a singer. I don't know a lot about all of the areas, but I'll take the time to ask the questions that I need to ask to figure out what they're struggling with, because all leadership is the same sort of stuff, just different skill set. And I know how to lead, so I just put that in a different environment. It's like, what's sticky? What's the problem? Is it a personnel problem? Is it a people problem? Are you the problem? Am I the problem? What is, you know, like, we can sometimes see the problem and not see it and need that assistance. So yeah. So I think time and priorities.
Yeah, I'll just jump in as well. Look, the people that you're going to have leading your departments, or what did you call them, areas of expertise, they're not ever going to be people with lots of time on their hands, ever. Those people you don't want leading your areas of expertise. So the people who are leading them, they are already people who are usually living at capacity. And so for me, I've had to resolve within myself as the person who's leading the team that you're not here doing me a favor.
Wow. True.
Right? But we are here together building the house of God. And this space right now is building your life. And it's going to bless every part of your life. It's going to bless your family. It's going to bless your finance. Because when you put the house of God first. So that's the way I talk to everyone. And in saying that, it doesn't mean I exploit their time or take advantage of their time. I meet with my team regularly, but not often. Yes, so when I do meet with them, the time that I have, I consider gold with those people. And that time, food, yes. Food, coffee, like value your team, connect with your team, and then don't spend too much time faffing about. Bring the word of God, bring vision, sow into them, invest into them, get through the planning stuff. And then you got, for me, I just do it once a month. So I only meet with my team once a month, and I value those times. And they can feel it. And then those people who are at capacity and living at capacity and running businesses, but also heading up your team, they will give you even more. Yeah.
Girl boss. So good. I was just going to say what I really love about our team is that we've had a hectic season. Moving Life Conference forward into April from May is straight after Easter is always awesome. And we've got a massive building going on at the same time. But what we do as a team, as department heads, is that we actually we meet together once a week. We're on staff, so it's a bit easier. But whenever we're ahead of a season, I love that Matt leads us, like, we talk about what our commitment is. We talk about it and we set it up at the beginning. So then when it comes to, and this is with any team member, when they come on team, you go, okay, what can you commit to? So, okay, you can commit to twice a month or whatever being on. That's a day out on a Sunday and a Wednesday or Thursday, whatever rehearsal night you have. Okay, cool. As a leader, it's my responsibility to not exploit what we've talked about and committed. And then when things change and you can reassess your goals and strategies or what you need from that person, then you can step it up a level. But it's so important to communicate because you're just on the same page. Like, that's actually what our meetings are called. They're same page meetings because we just need to be able to get together, be on the same page. So then whenever you get in the crap, sometimes you can actually have each other's back and be like, okay, cool. You're not like going pointing fingers or whatever. So the pointer finger, that is, not any other fingers. No one laughed. Okay, all good. Thanks.
Question. There you go.
Yeah.
You're my friend.
How do you direct or help a team of creative people move for a change when there's a little bit of resistance?
Matt's good at this one.
I don't know if I've got the articulate answer. It's a bit of a process. All change is often hard for people. And so we need to understand why we're making those changes and if we believe in them 100%. And sometimes you might not be the decision maker in that change. You are receiving a change, like from your senior pastor, right? Like, we need to change things up, like every week. If it's anything else, we have a saying in our church, which is change is a constant, so just get used to it. There was a time you didn't know where you were going to sit sometimes. Like, we'd just change offices for office sake because our senior pastor wants us to be flexible. And so we just change for change sake. Change your office. And, you know, we have big office move days. So we're used to change, to say it's a bit of a culture, but not everyone likes it. But going back to what you're saying is, do you believe in it 100%? You have to get your heart around the decision if it's not yours. And take the time to do that first, because if people don't understand that you believe in this change 100%, they're not going to get behind you, and it's going to be slow. And if you're getting your head around it as you're telling the people, they can feel that out, and that conversation is going to be hard. But if you believe in it, it's going to be like, let's talk about your resistance to this, because I'm already there. I'm already here. I've changed. The change was made. I'm going to help you transition through that season. And what do we need to do? So it's just a conversation. It might be a long one. So settle down. And you might have to come back around it again. But something just to have in your culture is your team flexible? Do we practice change? Do we need to change things up just to have so that we can be adaptable to those sorts of things? I don't know what culture you're in, but like our senior pastor, he changes a lot, so I just have to be good with it. Any other thoughts?
No, that's good.
That's cool. On to it. Yeah. Next hand, Nathan DeYoung, Najax. Right.
First of all, let me say that the Spirit of God doesn't breathe on culture. The Spirit of God breathes on His Word. And so I think culture is really, really important, but He breathes on His Word. And everything that we do must be based in His Word. And so when we're talking about, one of the biggest privileges I think about being called a creative team is that the creative team is named after a characteristic of God.
Yeah.
Right? Like the other communities are named after an aging stage. You know, but we get to be named after a characteristic of God. And so I've just done my best to really study and to discover what does it mean to be a creative person made in the image of Creator God and everything that we do to bring Him glory. And so I choose to disciple creative people, not according necessarily to the way that scholars or academics might title them, even sometimes as bipolar, which irritates me, like really irritates me. But to understand that although they are deep feelers, that can mean a high and a low. I know that the Word of God is constant.
Yeah.
I know that that's constant. And so I can disciple the lows and I can healthily take care of the highs, right? Like healthy. But as long as I can land it all on the word of God, I can lift them up, or the Lord can humble them. Not me, not my job. But, you know, for me, because probably you guys will be able to talk more about discipling creatives, but that's been my personal only strategy, is that everything, it must be based, it must come from the word of God, because there God will breathe. Yeah.
Well, I'm a true creative, I would say. Matt's agreeing, because he's had to lead me, and he would say he's a lot more stable than I. Okay, great. Same page meeting. But I know that I've grown. Like, I know that my highs and lows, although I feel them, how do I articulate this? I've discovered what they're used for and why I have them, and they're to be able to benefit and bring out the creativity of God and communicate in a special way. So I don't put that aside like, it irritates me when people say, oh, it's just a creative, even though people do say that. I often pull people up for saying that because we are unique and special, as is everybody. But now that I've learnt about myself, I can now lead other creatives in their highs and lows. I think creatives need to talk. I talk a lot. Yeah, I'm a talk to process. Matt just keeps nodding his head. I was like, have you got a moment to talk? Just to like process stuff. I'm kind of rambling. But I think, I can't remember what I was saying. Easily distracted is my personality, guys. It's a real thing.
So good.
So good.
To answer your question.
Oh, she's just a creative. Yeah, but yeah, anyway. Go for it.
Leadership is leadership, but I do think with the creative world, you need to spend a lot of more time on developing relationship and the person itself. Creatives are amazing because, like, we talk about those highs and lows, but like, you got to love the ride. If you want a simpler place to lead, I don't know if it's different in any other department in church or ministry life. People have still got emotions and there's different personality types, so you learn leadership skills. So it's not, it might be easier. You could choose a different department, but I thought that when I first came in, I'm like, oh man, I have no idea how you guys even live life, because this is me. But I've learned to love the journey and to see what comes out on the other side of someone's low and also their high. I'm just like, oh wow, I'm often amazed by what comes out. So it's a fun place to lead, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Can I just say, sometimes for our team, the lows in people's lives, out of those lows have come some of our best, greatest worship songs. And same from the highs as well. So it's not about denying those highs and lows, but really about discipling them through. And what do they do with those lows? What do they do with those highs? The response is important. The position will change all the time, but the response. And so that's what I mean by the word of God. And I did say that God doesn't breathe on culture, but he breathes on his word. But his word should produce phenomenal culture.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Great. Great comeback.
Yeah, I didn't finish my sentence.
That's awesome. We have maybe time for one more question. Depends how deep it is. Maybe two shallow questions, one really deep question. We have two questions. Hopefully they're not too shallow ones. After that joke? No, it's not. Ooh. Yes.
Sheldon. I definitely struggle with this. This is not an easy thing because I feel like I'm always producing stuff. So I've learnt, I don't know, I'm not much of an art gallery goer or anything like that, but a good old, you know, scroll on Pinterest or something can help me. Going to concerts, just doing like everyday normal things is really cool. In terms of having a break, I love going to the beach and doing that kind of thing. That stuff refuels me. I'm an extrovert, so I love hanging out with people late nights. It's awesome. Not great on the other side. Matt's agreeing. But yeah, I just do the things that I love, and that's what refills me.
From my wife, she's the beach person. She's all about the beach. She needs to go there, connect with God, whatever.
Wow.
Call me an but in essence, I feel like I need to get myself back into the presence of God. I find, I don't know about you, but every single weekend when I know, super spiritual, right? But I find every time I'm pouring out, I'm empty. Like, I'm done. I'm tapped out. And I know, and like, even physically and mentally, that's the most place where I'm vulnerable. And I know if I don't actually fill my tank up, like, I know for a fact, I'm going to feel way more insecure. I'm going to feel way more under pressure. I'm going to feel way more full of a sense of anxiety. Like, I'm pretty much, that's the time where I would feel like quitting my job every single week. But I notice that for me as a pattern, I decide when I'm empty, I'm going straight back to the source. So I'll find me the podcast of my pastor preaching. By the way, make sure you listen to your own pastor. Okay, just a leadership 101. But then obviously just filling myself with worship. Like for me, like putting myself in that environment. Yeah, so it's a super spiritual answer, but it's
good. I'll just quickly say the word of God. The word of God says that you must remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And so I will say that it's not enough just to read a book or do something that fills your soul. But what you need to do is to remember Sabbath. First of all, just remember that you need to have one. That's one of the Ten Commandments, right? Like, we wouldn't just go around murdering people, but we think it's okay not to have a Sabbath.
Wow.
You know, like, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I'm not always good at it, but I remember what I should do on the Sabbath day. And if you read like the first five books of the Bible, most of the time when God is talking about Sabbath, he's talking about, remember, this is the day that I set you apart. This is the day that you have to remember you're set apart. So I just don't do the things that fill my soul. You guys should all know that by now. But I sit down and I remember, thank you, God, that you have set me apart for a holy purpose. Help me to live a life that's worthy of your call. Yes. Holy Spirit, identify in me the areas that are running low. And then help me to walk with wisdom and have them filled in Jesus' name. So get in the presence of God. But don't just do the things that fill your soul, because your spirit then will run empty.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to get on all those gauges and make sure it's turned up.
Yeah, mean. I'm not going to answer just because I'm not that spiritual.
They both gave spiritual answers and I didn't.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Where was that other question? Down the back, my man. Great question to finish on, because I can invite you to tomorrow morning's session and masterclass.
Come on.
We're going to do a whole session on how we train our volunteers and the process that we've been on over the last year of even just changing the way we do things. And if you have never heard of Chris Hodges, we totally just ripped it off his church.
As many other churches.
Yeah.
Everyone else.
Yeah, these guys' churches do it as well. Shahan does it. It's totally just the Highlands model. And we're going to talk you through it tomorrow. It's a really cool way of getting people who, I don't know about your church, but my church is not filled with just amazing musicians. They come as they are. And that's awesome. And we're just the process of getting them from there to where you need them to be. We're going to do a whole session on it. So, yeah, is that cool? So you'll be back tomorrow? Yes, but at least it'll be one person. We're going to take a how long break? 15 minutes stretch break, 30 minutes. If you're coming back for the next session, which I really encourage you to do, we got Pastor Shahan preaching. I'll be here. Yeah, unless Julie calls, I've got to go. And I also want to tell you just about tomorrow afternoon session. We have our Pastor Jensen Franklin here, and if you've never heard him, he's amazing. So tell your friends, and we'll pack this place out. It's going to be amazing. He's one of the headline preachers of the conference, so it's a privilege and an honor to have him here. Hope you can make it. But let's take 30 minutes, and I'll see you back here.